Our scripture lesson today comes from the Beatitudes, which is the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. I'll be reading verses 3 through 12. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Typos. I've got to say, when you run across typos in daily reading, like, you know, church newsletters or bulletins and such, they're really no big deal, and they can be a little bit funny. But when typographical errors occur in Scripture, well, then we have a problem of, well, biblical proportions. Here's some examples of real typos that appeared in some versions of the Bible. Thou shalt commit adultery is what one Bible said. Yeah, that mistake in the 20th chapter of Exodus could have started a sexual revolution. They tell me the real version should have included the word not. Okay, not. Good to know. Go and sin on more, from John 8:11 in one Bible. I think that Jesus said go and sin no more, not sin on more, but maybe the printer was looking for a loophole. A frustrated parent must have written, let the children first be killed. I believe what Jesus said in Mark 7:25 was, let the children first be filled. And in today's passage from Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, one printer mistakenly printed out, blessed are the placemakers, for they will be called children of God. And of course, what Jesus said was, blessed are the peacemakers. Fortunately for us, there's all kinds of computer programs and proofreading services that work hard to catch such biblical blunders. According to the Associated Press, these companies are dedicated to proofreading Bibles to make sure that such misprints never make it into a Sunday scripture reading. Just think of the problems that would have arisen if they hadn't caught several errors in a recent edition of the Bible. The phrase, our ancestors, would have been sour ancestors, which may be more accurate, but still wrong. Instead of condemning factions, the Bible would have called to an end to fractions. And I know some math students would approve that. Today's scripture from Matthew sounds like it's full of typos. Even when it's completely accurate, it sounds like it's just full of typos. When you read this stuff, it's so counterintuitive that you figure, well, there's got to be some kind of misprint here. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted. You got to be kidding. All nine of the Beatitudes seem like typos, like mistakes, but they're not. And so I think the only way to see these phrases clearly is through the lens of God. A proofreader's magnifying glass can't help us spot the truth here. We need to be looking through divine optics of God proclaimed by Jesus. Several years ago, Kurt Vonnegut once said that Christians have often demanded that the Ten Commandments be posted on public buildings, but never the Beatitudes. And he wondered why. So how about that? Instead of the Ten Commandments, how about posting the Beatitudes? How would that look in our public places? How about finding a place to hang, "Blessed are the merciful," in our courtrooms? How about hanging up, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness," in the chambers of our city councils? How about making a place to see, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," in the unemployment lines? It's time to be placemakers. Let's make a place for the Beatitudes. It's time to provide a place for those who are grieving. It's time for righteousness to be in what we say and do and are. It's time to make a place in our hearts as children of God for peace. So how do we do all of that? What does it mean for us to make a place for God in our lives today? What kind of blessing will we experience if we allow ourselves to be transformed by this radical new reality that Jesus is offering us? What kind of renewal will come our way if we take seriously the invitation to open our hearts and minds to the arrival of God? Let's hear the Beatitudes again for the first time. "Blessed are the poor in spirit." It's fascinating that 12-step programs like AA begin exactly where Jesus begins, poverty of spirit. And you don't have to be an addict for this to apply. Step one, I admit I'm powerless over whatever particular addiction or problem may be, and my life has become unmanageable. Step two, I have come to believe that only a higher power, God, can restore me. That's poverty of spirit. I can't do it. I'm helpless against my sin, my failures, my needs. It seems to me that being a Christian means that you realize that's where you begin each and every day of your life, needing God's grace. It's hard for us to admit that we ourselves can't do it alone. Let's make a place for those of us being poor in spirit. For we are not in control. Blessed are those who mourn. There's a lot of people who are mourning these days. We mourn the loss of life, the loss of income, the loss of ability to do the stuff we used to be able to do. In politics, the loss of sanity. We mourn because there is evil around us and in us, erupting in our bedrooms and boardrooms, in our back alleys and battlefields. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." To be the church God calls us to be, we need to, as individuals and as a corporate body, be the ones listening and comforting those who mourn. We need to be the ones crying with those who are hurting. We need to bless people not with judgment, but with support. Let's make a place for those who mourn. We are not in control. Support those around you. Blessed are the meek. In our modern English idiom, the word meek is, well, it's hardly one of the honorable words of life. Nowadays, it comes with the idea of spinelessness. But it so happens that the word meek in the language of the Greek New Testament, praeus, was one of the great Greek ethical words. Aristotle had a great deal to say about the quality of meekness. He defined it as the mean, the middle between two extremes of anger. It's the happy medium between too much and too little. So the first possible translation of this beatitude is, "Blessed is the one who is always angry at the right time, never angry at the wrong time." I like that. Let's make a place for meekness in our words and our deeds. We are not in control. support those around you. Be angry only at the right time. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The fact is, very few of us know what it's like to really be hungry or thirsty. But when Jesus spoke these words, feeding one's family was a real issue. Getting water for the day was hard. He wasn't talking about missing a mid-morning snack or a thirst that could be quenched with a single glass of water. It was the person who was hungry, starving for food, the thirst of one who was dying of dehydration. So this beatitude essentially asks, how much do you want goodness? How intense is our desire to make things right? I think it would make a huge difference in this world, at least our section of the world, if we would desire goodness more than anything else. Let's make a place in our lives to be about goodness. We are not in control. Support those around you. Be angry only at the right time. Desire goodness. Blessed are the merciful. There's nothing weak or pathetic or shameful about being merciful. But you wouldn't know that looking at our society. It takes great strength to offer the olive branch when we could seek revenge or a sharp-edged comment. If we are honest, I think we want God to be a whole lot more merciful than we are. Even though we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or as it is in Luke, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. In your life at home, with your friends, at family, at work, in the marketplace, make a place for mercy in your life. Make a place for mercy with those you love and those you can hardly stand. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. We are not in control. Support those around you. Be angry only at the right time. Desire goodness. Offer mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Mark Shields of PBS highlighted what I think this means in a statement about when Gabby Giffords was shot in Tucson. He wrote, quote, "This is America, where a white Catholic male Republican judge was murdered on his way to greet a Democratic Jewish woman member of Congress who was his friend. Her life was initially saved by a 20-year-old Mexican-American gay college student and eventually saved by a Korean-American combat surgeon, all eulogized by an African-American president. While the events in that shooting were horrific, some great things happened in the aftermath. Heroes, pure in heart, step forward as shields, protecting others. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We are not in control. Support those around you. Be angry only at the right time. Desire goodness. Offer mercy. Step forward when duty calls. Blessed are the peacemakers. Mark Kelly, husband of Representative Gabby Giffords, said he was willing to meet with the parents of Jared Lochner, who was the shooter in that attack. He said, quote, "They've got to be hurting in this situation as much as anybody," end quote. Wow. That's what making peace is all about. When given an opportunity that some would say is a legitimate excuse to be mean and cruel, he was not. Make a place for peace in your life and in your relationships. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. We are not in control. Support those around you. Be angry only at the right time. Desire goodness. Offer mercy. Step forward when duty calls. Give the olive branch. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. One of the things we've got to realize is that for those who followed Jesus, their whole lives were disrupted. Their work, their social life, their families. Here they were trying to follow Jesus, and it cost them everything. To be the church God calls us to be, we must be the conscience of a nation and the conscience of society. And boy, do we need some conscience right now. Where there is good, we must praise. Where there is evil, we must condemn. And inevitably, the powerful will try to silence the troublesome voice of conscience. If you're doing it right as a Christian, my friends, don't be surprised if people get angry at you and you feel persecuted. In our policies within this church and society, in our liturgies and editorials, within conversations across coffee tables and conference rooms, at opportunities from the first to the 19th hole, in all our daily encounters with family and friends, neighbors and strangers, be that place of conscience, the Word of God. We are not in control. Support those around you. Be angry only at the right time. Desire goodness. Offer mercy. Step forward when duty calls. Give the olive branch. And speak up and be the conscience of society. The Beatitudes are not mistakes, misspellings, or typos, as strange as they may seem to us. Instead, they are God-based qualities that can open the door to inner peace. Let's make a place for the Beatitudes. The challenge for us is to open ourselves up to God, to receive this radical new idea that Jesus is inscribing on our hearts, and thus make a place for the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who open the door to God, says Jesus. Blessed are the placemakers. That's no typo. Thanks be to God. Amen.